The 2023 event season for Loud Proud American continues to dish out challenges. A new way of thinking has me wondering if a down event can still be considered a successful event. Allie joins us today to share one of the craziest dollar store experiences you will ever hear. And together, we ask, is customer service in America officially gone forever? Let me tell you something. Everybody struggles. The difference is some people choose to go through it and some choose to grow through it. The choice is completely yours. Which one you choose will have a very profound effect on the way you live your life. If you find strength in the struggle, then this podcast is for you. You have a relationship that is comfortable with uncomfortable conversations. Uncomfortable conversations challenge you, humble you, and they build you. When you sprinkle a little time and distance on it, it all makes sense. Most disagreements, they stem from our own insecurities. You are right where you need to be. Ooh, what it do. So damn fortunate to be back with you. Episode 160. Whenever I say 160, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about Biggie. Escargot, my cargo, 160, swiftly, something like that. Was that Hypnotize?
Maybe. I thought you were going to say 165.
Like our address?
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe. Episode 160, we're coming at you from the living room. You and me, recording together with our annoying four-legged children running around here like savages. I'm excited for you to join me today, Dia.
Thanks.
Last week was a bit of a deep episode, a heavy episode. We went straight out the gate with Patreonic, and then we had to encounter some real-life nonsense, dealing with some ridiculous neighbors, and really going from that pissed off, angry feeling to a frightened moment. And all in all, in the end, kind of, you know, you leave yourself wondering what could have been and being blessed and thankful for what didn't happen and what all the things that you actually have, you know. Like last week, that episode was so heavy and it really, you know, was something that I had thought about the whole time I was gone as I left for our last event. And I had to do this fair. So the first time I really did the fair on my own, you showed up on Friday evening. So I couldn't help but think the whole week while I was gone, like, what the hell's going on here? What are these fucking idiots doing next door? You know, like, what are some of the things that my family's dealing with? So
really nothing, actually. It was oddly quiet. It was really eerie.
Yeah, they must have been quiet because they were concerned about some fines or something, would probably be my assumption.
But yeah, because there was, like, nobody around. Like, I kept checking the cameras and stuff while I was at work, and there was just nobody around from when I got here, when I left, to when I got here and at nighttime. There was nobody. It was strange.
They're back to work now, but, I mean, who the hell knows what's going on?
They've recruited the neighbor.
Yeah, which is
the nosy neighbor.
Which is great. I'm just going to put it all out there that I'm going to be having a meeting with the fire department and my local town officials, because this is some baby back bullshit, if I was going to use some of your phrasing. So leaving last week, that was really all that was on my mind. And I got to be honest, as soon as I got home, the closer we got to being home, like, anxiety comes back. Anger and frustration comes back, because, you know, like, as soon as you turn the corner and you see these freaking morons, right, and everything they're doing, you're just like, man, the fact that everything we own and built and worked for and established could be jeopardized by these absolute morons. Mm-hmm. And I mean, literally, like, my anxiety just goes through the roof when I see them. So I just try to block it all out, because it's the first thing I thought about when I was starting to come home, you know, like, where you want to be home, you want to see the family and see the animals and everything, but you're just so frustrated by the bullshit that's happening in front of you. So that's been tough, but
literally in front of us.
Exactly. So last week was the first time that I've really tackled a fair on my own. So Last week when we had our episode, we talked about, you know, the Jason Aldean situation and standing with Aldean and being a proud Patriot. We talked about the fire that happened right basically on our property line. But I don't know if I made reference to the fact that I was getting ready to go to an event. I think I mentioned that, you know, I was stressed out about that portion of it. But just to kind of highlight those things, you and me headed out and dropped off the camper together, and then we built the shell for our vendor display together. And then we came home, and then I think it was maybe a day later, I had it back. Actually, I was supposed to leave on that Monday, but that's when the fire happened. So on Tuesday, I headed out. This fair is just shy of 2 hours away from home base for us. So I knew it was manageable enough for me to handle the first part of it. My mom's still recovering from her surgery. Obviously, you have to work and pay the bills and provide the insurance. So I started this event on my own. So I went in and, you know, finished the setup and do all those things. And then Thursday, actually the fair started on, was it Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Yeah. So I did Wednesday.
You were trying to get there for Monday because you were doing it by yourself.
That's right. So then Tuesday I set up by myself because I wanted 2 days and we made it into one. And then Wednesday was the first day of the fair, which was smoldering hot. Again, this season, this weather's obnoxious this year.
It's either super hot or raining.
That's it. That's all it is. And
there's no happy medium.
I'm really hoping, and you guys are going to kind of find the theme here. We've already started the show off mentioning that, you know, we had a down event. Here we are again, have another down event. But here we are again, having another event that's impacted by heat, rain, or both. So I'm really hoping that at the end of the season, we kind of make up for this, right? Because that just really seems to be like how nature works, man. It's just kind of the law of averages. You don't always just hit it lucky the entire season. And if you do, you have yourself a great season. But I think we're just kind of getting our bad luck out of the way early, personally.
Speaking of lucky, Jason Aldean, number one on the charts. Yeah, way to go.
He's pounding away on that. That's absolutely for sure.
Yep.
I don't think there's any luck involved with that one. That's just true patriotism there. But
I think that's lucky.
Okay. Right.
That you've had the chance to, I mean, he's had the chance without all of this happening to be number on the top number one.
Yeah,
he's had he's
a ton of number one charts.
I'm talking about this song in particular.
Oh, I got you.
Like, it's been out for a while, and then.
Yeah, and now it's soaring up.
Yeah, right? Good for him.
So.
I stand for that.
All right. Proud of you for that. So this event, much like the other ones, we're battling the weather. Wednesday was so brutally hot that it was depressing. It was heat depression, okay? It was so damn slow. Man, I don't remember what I did for the day. I'd have to look it up, but I think for an entire day. Now, I'm just going to put some perspective for everybody. This fair is open till 10 p.m. every night. So you have to be open by 10, and you're supposed to be open by 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. What did I do day one? I think it was like $100. Yeah, it was.
Thank you, Tommy.
It was miserable. When you're sitting in a tent that feels like 200 degrees for 12 hours and you make $100, and then you realize that actually that's not what you made because you have cost and profit. And so let's just say, hypothetically, you sat around for 12 hours and you paid yourself $45 or something. Oh, boy. That was a good feeling. What, you got an idea over there? I see you with your antennas up. What's going on?
I'll tell the listeners when you're done.
All right. So day one, I think I'm going to blame it on the heat and say that's the reason why we didn't do so solid on day one. Day two started to get a little bit better, and then the weather changed. It started raining, and we actually closed the entire fair down early. So I lost the nighttime portion of the fair, which is when we make our money. We just kind of sit around a lot of times during the daytime, unless it's the weekend or we're at a big fair like Freiburg or something. But
I mean, in the defense of the fair, there was a tornado warning, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it did get pretty brutal. So, but if I'm looking at the result for the fair, when you lose an evening, no matter when that evening is, it hurts us because that's when we actually make our money. We've lost days before, but if you open at night, we still do all right. We get, you know, hoodies, sales, and stuff like that. So we lost a Thursday night. And then Friday was not that great, man. I thought Friday was going to be gangbusters. It improved a little bit. You showed up Friday evening. And Saturday, we really set our sails high, man. We thought Saturday we were going to crush it. And we had a little bit of rush, you know, where things started to come through. And then what do you know? It starts fucking pouring again.
Mm. Buckets.
So they closed early on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's one thing to lose a day. It's another thing to lose an evening. And it's a whole different scenario when you lose the evening on a Saturday. Like,
but two of them in one fair.
I'll take two of them if it's a Wednesday, Thursday. Right. Before taking one freaking Saturday. Because you can make all your money at a fair in one damn day if that one damn day happens to be Saturday. So the fact we lost Saturday evening, brutal.
Yeah,
that crushed us. I would say Sunday we did decent. We had a pretty good day Sunday.
Yeah, we did all right. We stayed open later just to get the last flow of traffic, and it worked because we sold a bunch of sweatshirts.
That's true. You know, a lot of fairs, everybody's ready just to get the hell out by the time it's all said and done. This is one of the fairs that had a late closing. Like, most fairs will let you start packing up around 6 o'clock. These guys said no, 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we were spending the night, so it's like, what's the point?
We have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Go back and eat dinner and go to bed. That was it. So
when they're making the announcement that the fair is closing at 10 and we're in the kind of roadway to a lot of people's vehicles, why not stay open?
Yeah.
So we turn the radio up, kind of cause a scene because we're the only ones open. Everybody else is packing up.
Yeah.
We do it every time.
Yep.
And
it works. It's a method to the madness.
I mean, I guess we didn't do it in Ospe. We were ready to go.
I don't remember.
But there wasn't like there was a crowd looking to leave. Yeah, the year before we stayed. Yeah,
we did. Yeah.
So
because we had a bunch of the people come from the pulling arenas.
Yeah.
Because there, you had your radio going.
That's right.
And stuff like that.
So I think we almost did. I mean, one of our busiest times of the entire weekend was like the last hour.
Yeah.
Of closing and then after closing, you know?
Yeah, because the fair closed at 10, but we actually didn't like get back to camp till like, I think it was almost 11.
I think so. So we put in a good
extra hour.
Yeah, just about, right? So
because they didn't stop the rides, because I remember looking over and I was like, wow, the Ferris wheel's still running. But I thought it closed at 10. And so the lines were always so long for all the rides, like if you did like a lap around. So they must have just been trying to get through.
Work through the line.
Yeah.
It was one of those fairs where your ticket price includes all the rides you can handle, like, you know, piss your pants, throw up type of deal. So
that was pretty nice.
Here's a bracelet and ride till you puke.
Unless you don't have kids and you're not riding.
Then you're complaining about it.
Yeah, then you did complain about it. But
so just to kind of put a little bow on it, financially, not a good fair. Not a good fair.
But it was a different dynamic for us. Like different
definitely was.
Crowd.
I've spent a lot of time thinking about it because we set a number, an expected number on so many fairs. You kind of have to. If you don't forecast what your result's going to be, then you don't prepare yourself and you don't bring enough product for yourself, right? If you just kind of shoot from the hip, you could get there and you could maybe not have enough product so that you can't be successful. Or you could bring too much product, which will actually prevent you from being successful as well because you can't find the shit that you have, right? So, we always try to put a lot of thought into it. And when we are forecasting these numbers, I try to figure out an expected foot traffic and then kind of compare it to similar fairs. The organizer for this fair promised me that 15,000 people would walk by the front of our tent and said, whatever you do with them is up to you.
Fake news.
Yeah.
CNN.
Dude, if we got 5,000 people to attend the entire fair, then maybe 500 of them walked in front of our tent. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was
brutal.
It was brutal. And you think about the fact that, like, at one point on Sunday, we were talking about it where I said, hey, how many conversations do you think we had today?
A lot.
And we were at, like, we said maybe we had 40 conversations and 9 people bought from us. And we're kind of talking about that average. And I really started to think that, maybe this isn't the right market for us, you know?
Also, let me just put into perspective that I'm sure you've been to, everyone listening has been to a craft fair, a vendor event of some sort. And for us, our mentality is like, if you take the time to come into our booth, we want to at least give you the opportunity to say, hello, how are you? We're not trying to throw things down your throat. We don't necessarily, I mean, we want you to buy, but it's not like you have to, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like when you come in, we just want to say hello and see how you're doing. So, I mean, everyone who walks into our tent, we're like, hey, how are you? How's the fair treating you? Like, it's just that person to person conversation where, I mean, 90% of the booths you walk by, people have their face in their phone and they don't say or acknowledge you at all whatsoever. And then it's those ones that actually do take the time that you're like, you know what, maybe I will take an extra minute to like, or even 30 seconds just to look at what you actually have, like all of what you have. Because you took the time to say hello.
It's a little thing. It's mind-blowing to me how many of just like displays you can walk into and not be greeted whatsoever.
I also, speaking of that, so a couple of times I would, at this event and others, as soon as like you make a conversation with someone, like if I have a question about something, and then I will start the conversation like, hey, how are you? How's the fair treating you? And then they'll be like, oh, it's fine. Like, you know, they don't know that I'm a vendor. I don't have like a vendor badge or anything of that nature. And then as soon as you mention that you're a vendor, boom, a light switches.
It should be like when you're going into somebody else's tent, you're saying?
Yeah, and then they find out that you're a vendor. It should never be that. You should treat me and everybody else that walks into your booth the exact same. It shouldn't matter. Because when you make that comment like, oh, yeah, we're a vendor, like down the way, because I'll do that. Like, and I mean, like, listen, I'm balling on a budget. I'm here bargaining. It is what it is.
I give vendors a discount.
Right,
If you're out there struggling with us just the same, and also you take care of your neighbors, they'll take care of you. Exactly. You hope that if you give them a discount, they're going to watch out for you as well. You know what I mean? Like, number one, that discount can be reciprocated, right?
For sure.
We had a lot of meals we didn't pay for this week. You know?
So good.
Shooty's seafood. Best seafood I've had. And I don't know since when.
Food truck. It's like Shooty's.
Yeah, seafood. They have
seafood and takeout cart.
West Bath, they have one. Oh, they have two locations now.
Goodness gracious.
I would say best clam strips of my life.
Was that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And their daughter. Fantastic. So,
to die for.
But that's the point, right? You have those conversations with vendors and then you build these relationships. And that's kind of where I'm going to touch on a lot more of that as we get going here. But we give discounts to vendors. We try to help vendors.
Absolutely.
I try to go out of my way to help them if they need something. For example, we had two occasions that I just mentioned that I got rained out, right? So on Thursday night, the folks next to me, I grabbed one of their business cards and said, hey, man, I'm staying here. I know you're not. When I come down, I'll check your tent. And, you know, if anything's up, I'll fix it. But I'll shoot you a message or I'll call you if, you know, if something's going on. And they appreciate that, you know. And on Saturday, I touched base with my other neighbors. So I had two business cards for two different vendors sitting next to us that we actually left the safety and comfort of our little den, our camper, walked down in the rain and checked out, number one, to make sure our stuff was good.
In the rain?
Yeah.
Correction.
Yeah, it was raining.
It was pouring.
Well, we were obligated to go down there and check on our neighbor's stuff to make sure that everything was good. And that's just kind of how you be neighborly that way. And I mean, one neighbor came over to us and one of our t-shirts was flying down the road and they grabbed it, right? So
what's the saying? Love thy neighbor.
Sure. I like that. Well, there's a lot of neighbors I ain't in love with, but you know what we're saying. Seeing so, we got some neighbors trying to burn their damn house down.
Not
but
those neighbors. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I think that's a quote that people use, like, love thy neighbor.
The point is that, you know, we try to develop relationships with the vendors that are around us. Some of them are just dicks to you straight up, you know. And since how we're on like this vendor type of conversation, I was actually really encouraged by the fact that a very similar brand and us hit it off and had a lot of good brainstorming conversations. So Calvin from
really nice.
Yeah, man, Calvin from Soldier Solutions, we had a great conversation. They're an American company. They don't do not everything that they offer is American made. So some shirts are 100% American made. I was doing some research on them. The ones that aren't, they try to use American like cotton that might be assembled somewhere. But they want to make sure that everything's like printed at their factory in Connecticut. It's bagged and shipped from Connecticut from a veteran. So their whole premise is to help veterans and that community. So between donating to other, you know, veteran organizations, helping to train dogs for veterans to...
Their mission is to get dogs to veterans.
Yeah, and to train dogs for them, right? So
providing service dogs for veterans. He was telling me that when they first started, they only had the ability to provide, I think it was like year one, they only had the ability to provide 2 dogs per year. And then now they're up to like 35 dogs a year that they provide to veterans, which is phenomenal. Because I mean, these veterans need these service dogs for all sorts of different reasons, but they take the time to have them trained and then presented to the veteran of their choice, which is really awesome.
Yeah, it's a really cool cause. And it's one of those things that I've seen these guys at other events. I've never seen Calvin at other events. They must hire people for certain locations,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, probably.
So this is the first time we've really had a good conversation, the two of us. But what's cool is, and ironic, there's a lot of places that I go for the first time. If they are there, I'm always asked like, oh, well, I mean, you know, we don't know if you're going to be a good fit. We already have so-and-so. And they just assume that we're not going to get along or we're going to take each other's business, right? This fair in particular, when I had a conversation with them, they said, yeah, we already have Soldier Solutions here, so we don't think you're going to be a good fit. And, you know, we had to convince them that we're, you know, it's not the same
thing,
right?
We're nothing like the same.
You know, like
they're not a competition for us.
No, we're not direct competition of each other. And, you know, we're both focused on American jobs, right? Our line for American manufacturing and American products is a lot greater than theirs is. But then their line for veteran support is a lot greater than ours is,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So, you know, it's different.
You made a valid point about that where... Because him and I were chatting about how that's come up in conversation multiple times.
What's that?
That, you know, when we go somewhere, someone's like, oh, you can't be in that area because of the fact that, you know, you guys are competition. So him and I were chatting about that. And he was like, I find that to be funny because I'll go to a location and I'll specifically ask to be right next to Nine Line.
Well, right.
Like, I'll ask to be
That's their family too, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, they'll have an entire trailer and like... grid wall, floor to ceiling, full of what they need. And then I have this tiny little pop-up tent. He's like, and I will move t-shirts like it's my job over here.
Right.
And if I don't have it, then I'll send them next door. But like, we'll be parked right next to one another and we're not competition. We have the same idea and everything's behind, like it's all masked the same.
I think we all have a common goal there, you know? But we can also be united in the sense that our business is about creating American jobs.
Mm.
They're just doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You can't show up at a location and be like, I don't like that guy.
Yeah.
Because that guy's doing exactly what you are doing and exactly what you want other people in this country to do.
Exactly.
Which is to, you know, buy American, support American, give back to American. So, you know, you're really tugging on the same rope for the same reason, for the same goal. And it was nice to have those conversations because somebody that they might hire to be at a location might look at us differently. They might look at us as competition or we might, you know what I mean? Just, you never had that common ground. But it was nice to really just have those conversations. And then for him to be like, their brand is much further ahead than ours is, right?
Yeah, they've been in business for 7 years, he said.
And he travels all over GetUp. He left the next morning for Wisconsin, but he was sharing some locations with me that would be good for me. And they've done some things that are on our bucket list. Like there's a clear objective that I have for the brand that I'm really trying to tackle in the next couple of years. They've already done it. They've been doing it. So there's just, there's a trail of success, right? When you sniff success, when you smell success, when you discuss success, they leave clues, man. Success leaves clues. So when you talk to somebody on their journey and their trail, and no two paths are the same, but success leaves clues. If you have been successful, you're going to drop little knowledge nuggets along the way that we can learn from, that we can take and borrow and build from. So it was nice to have those conversations, man. It really was. And it was encouraging to also go over and be transparent and have that conversation that's like, how's this event for you? Because it fucking blows for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was...
I think it was also informational for us to know that, like, we're right on the money when it comes to, like, our price points, too. Like, because we didn't know what their prices...
Yeah, we were cheaper than them.
But also, like, we didn't know what their prices were. Like, we've never, like... I mean, I've looked at their booth but never asked prices because their stuff is not tagged to tell you, like, price-wise. But, I mean, I think that it was really informational. And he gave us some information about, like... price-wise
he was really helpful with us, you know, and he encouraged me, don't lower your prices, man. Like, you're you know, you can't compare yourself to these other people over here mm-hmm. with their pricing and
yeah, their $10 t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, there was safety in numbers in there, and there was a great deal of knowledge in that conversation and support.
Yeah, I hope we can meet up with them in another event.
Because it really was comforting, because here's the deal. We came from, if we look at our last handful of events, right? We did our horse event, mm-hmm. our horse racing event. We were at about 50%, right? Mm-hmm. We go to 4th of July, we get rained out. We're at, I don't know, maybe 30%. Who the hell knows? We go to our first fair of the year, we're at 50%. We go to this fair, and off of my projections, I'm not even at 50% of my projection. To put it in perspective for you, the last fair that we went to, where we were off by 50%, it actually beat this fair. Mm. And this fair is bigger than the fair that we went to. So right. I know that might sound confusing for people, but we were at a smaller fair where mm-hmm. we missed our number by 50% over what we did last year. And that number was greater than what we just did this weekend.
Right.
So as much as we complained about that previous fair, it did better than we just did.
Oh, no.
And it was a hell of a lot closer to home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can beat yourself up about that. And then you can really worry about the direction for the year. You know, you can try to justify things and say, hey, it's been hot, it's been raining, I've lost this, I've lost that. But when you stack up a list of events that have just been shitty financially, you can beat yourself up, man. You can lose sight of the goal. But for to have that same conversation with me, to be sharing numbers that were very similar, and for him to be like, this just might not be our market, mm-hmm. you know, and to having those conversations and, it's tough because you never want to hear something's not your market. And I'm not fully committed that it's not like right for us.
Mm-hmm.
But because we had multiple people say like, it might not be the best fit for you. But it turned out okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
You know, we still made money.
I mean, we made more money than we would have if we sat on the couch.
Oh, that's absolutely, absolutely true. But greater than the money was the exposure.
For sure.
And the opportunity, the mm-hmm. conversations. We made new relationships.
Yeah.
Number one, the connection we now have with a very similar brand, Soldier Solutions.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself was worth a lot. The relationships that we made with the new vendor relationships we made with people that were next to us, you know,
mm-hmm.
Those friendships, those connections. And then you look at the outreach for the business, because I think that maybe the entire time I was there, maybe 4 or 5 people came in that I already know that mm-hmm. are existing customers and friends of ours.
Right.
The rest was all new.
All new people.
So new many exposure. New conversations. And what I kept trying to tell myself, because I was beating myself up, what I kept trying to think about was every time I would look at the stack of coat hangers, you know, from all the clothes we sold, mm-hmm. even though it wasn't a lot and it took us all damn weekend to come close to filling one rack, when I looked at the pile of hangers that were there, every single one of those to me signified a new person.
Yeah, a new
customer. It signified a new opportunity, mm-hmm. right? It was the only...
Yeah, because those people that came in that we knew, maybe they bought a new t-shirt or
right,
something.
Right.
So, I mean, the majority of those
yeah, there
were
was,
all new customers.
There was two families specifically that came out to see us, and they each bought a couple things, right? And then Lisa and Bentley and Zoe came up to see us.
Mm-hmm.
But most people there had no clue who we were, right? No, nothing
right.
about us.
Right.
They know about us now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to ask ourselves, if we had a down event, is this still a good event? And I feel like I'm going to have to chalk this event up as a good event, because we had a new audience, we had new obstacles, new friendships, in a new outlook. So we got to take it, right? We have to take the wins and the losses and stack them up. And hopefully at the end of the year, they all average out. But we accomplished some things this week. I tackled the fair by myself. You hauled the camper, our longest distance fair I think we've done, right? So that's a win.
It was the fair.
Because it was a couple hours, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of time on the interstate as well. So you think about those things, we battled the conditions, lost 2 days to the rain, dealt with the heat, but we met a lot of new people, we started new friendships, new relationships, and we met a whole new audience, because I think about that stack of coat hangers and how that actually is a symbol for all the new people, all the new faces, all those people that are going to be out there rocking our gear. So yes, the answer, America, is a down event can still be a good event. You just got to change the way you look at things. You got to change your outlook and find a much more positive outlook. Hopefully, the trend of down events financially changes as we're gearing up for another friggin' event, another road show, another solo show for most of it. At the time that we're recording this, we're in the middle of a real busy week getting ready to rock and roll. Let's see, Saturday we actually are going to be traveling 2 hours north as I will be DJing a wedding, and then 2 hours home on Saturday evening as well. So 4 hours in the car Saturday plus a wedding ceremony. And then on Sunday we're going to hitch up the camper and we're heading back to Topsom, the Topsom Fair, the scene of the crime. This is actually, you know, the fair where we might have had a little camper incidente where we tuna can the camper, but we're gonna put that behind us because this time around it's gonna be a much better event
and a new camper.
This might be it. This might be the maiden voyage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it a bad omen if we take the new camper to the scene of the crime for the old camper though, or are we like overcoming odds? And you know,
is it a bad omen to bring the camper that we tuna canned?
I don't know. Good question. Good question. But again, another busy week. We just got home on Monday, and we're trying to get caught up on some things, get things rocking and rolling. Big wedding on Saturday, hauling the camper on Sunday, setting up for the fair on Monday because it starts on Tuesday. And I believe I'll be at the fair by myself Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all day Friday. I think if the wife, you know, isn't fed up with me, she'll show up Friday evening, and then we'll have Saturday, Sunday, and come on home Monday. And then I think we're going to have maybe a week or 2 weeks, and I'll be at Bentley's DJing again. And then I think it's on to the Windsor Fair because we are into Windsor. So we're excited about that. So that's our little roundup, scare them up, stack them up, recap on the event season. It's been an absolute freaking challenge, but I think about all the obstacles we overcame last week. I think about those new faces and new places, and might not have made all I hoped to make, but we made a lot of smiles, a lot of relationships, and I'm going to chalk that up as a win. Gotcha! Loud Proud American is a lifestyle brand dedicated and determined to represent the American spirit with an unrelenting commitment to provide made in the USA products. If you would like to join the 2% of Americans that buy American and support American, head on over to www.loudproudamerican.shop. Together, we can bring back American manufacturing. All right, all right, all right. So, dear, when I started the show off, I mentioned that you might just be sitting on the, shall I say, oddest, is that a word? Oddest dollar store story I've ever heard in my life. Which, I mean, number one, how many dollar store stories does everybody have? Probably not many. But if I were to have a list of stories that took place at the dollar store, I'm going to take this one, put it at the top.
Lord help me. Because we're all going to need it.
I think that's the meaning of this message you're about to give is, the Lord might actually be helping you, dear.
I have no idea. So, while you were gone, I went to not only the dollar store, but the dollar 25 tree. Okay.
Did they name it the dollar 25 tree?
No, I just did.
Oh, okay.
Because everything's a dollar 25 now.
Inflation's a bitch. Even the dollar store is affected, man. This is ridiculous.
The dollar tree has a $3 and a $5 section now. Hmm. Not everything's a dollar 25. Anyway. So I go to the dollar store and I am simply just like stopped in my tracks because I discovered the $3 and the $5 section. I'm like,
you're blown away by inflation.
Yeah. I'm like,
what is this section? What? Yeah. This is an outrage.
What is this? The Dollar General?
No. Exactly.
No, not here.
What am I getting? Knockoff Girl Scout cookies at the Dollar General, which sound delicious, but this diet's killing me. Anyways, keep going.
So I'm there just going through the aisles and I hear this lady down the way and she's got like a little like southern accent to her, like a little bit of a twang. So
a little
I'm like
twang.
Little twang to her.
Little Mark Twain.
And she's like, Oh, heavens, what is this? She also finds the $3 and $5 section. And so I like just give a good chuckle.
Is the Can I ask you this? Mm-hmm. The $3 and $5 section, are they like better products? Do they bring in better products? Or did all of a sudden some of their dollar products are now $3?
No, they did bring in better products. However, what I am going to tell you is this. There's a couple of products that I did see in the $3 and $5 section that I was like, I get that at Walmart cheaper. Yeah. Good for you. Good for you for bringing in better quality items. Mm-hmm. However, don't always trust the dollar store.
Just because you're in the cheapest store might not be the cheapest price.
It's true. It's true. Yep.
It's damn true.
It's damn true. So anyway, I go about my business. I am having, I'm having a moment, okay? I'm literally just having a little retail therapy in the dollar store, okay? I mean, if I'm going to have some retail therapy, at least it's in the dollar store.
All right.
Okay, because everything that I put in my cart, which was a whopping...
Balling on a budget.
Which was a whopping cart, okay? I got some good things. But it was only a dollar.
You said whopping, and I thought of Whoppers. And I didn't think about Whoppers as in the burgers. I thought of Whoppers as in the little chocolate candies that you probably
worst.
You could probably get those at the dollar store.
The worst candies.
I'd eat the fuck out of a gallon of those right now. One of those, a carton of those. I got this sweet tooth right now as you're talking about the dollar store. Tell you what.
All right. Can I get to my
story? Yeah. That's cool.
Okay. So I have this whopping cart, right? I go over to the register and I notice there's a lady behind me and she has only a couple of things. And I was like, oh, you can go ahead of me. The Dollar Tree got the best of me. And she was like, oh, you too, dear. And I looked around and I was like, that's her. Mm-hmm. That's the lady I heard down the way. And so she goes ahead of me. And, you know, when you're in the line, you just make small talk. And
yeah.
So she like grabs some grape gum and she like makes a comment about like whether it's any good. It's like Icebreaker's grape. And I was like, to be honest, I've never tried it. I don't know. Grape isn't my go-to.
Mine either.
And so
for anything. Right. Really. Yeah. I don't eat grape popsicles.
Mm-mm. No, not interested. And so she asks the cashier, like, do you know if this is any good? And he was like, oh, I'm sure it's fine. And she was like, well, I'm 6 months pregnant, and I don't know if he's going to want me to have that. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, great. Look, good luck. Okay. I don't know. So during this little interaction about being pregnant, she is telling me and the cashier about how she has a 14-year-old, and now she's about to have a newborn, and all she wants to do is just love her babies and love Jesus. And so after saying that, she looks at me and she says, do you have any children? And I said, no, but I hope to one day, you know, maybe, you know. And she looks me dead in my face and says, oh, Lord, let's pray for a baby. And I was like,
right here at the dollar store.
Thank you. Yes, thank you so much. Like, that's very kind of you.
Mm-hmm. Very sweet. Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that we were going to actually pray actually in the dollar store. Actually go through with it? That happened. Yep. So she pays for her groceries, whatever she was buying, and grabs my hand and the cashier's hand.
Okay.
And we go into prayer.
So you guys forming a circle right now. You're holding a hand of the cashier.
Yep.
And a hand for this lady.
Yep.
And she's got your hand and the cashier's hand.
Correct. Yeah, in the middle of the dollar store at the cash wrap. Yep.
Were there other people in line?
Thankfully, no.
Okay.
Thankfully, no. So she goes into the Heavenly Father. You know what I do. Do what you do. Pray for this woman. Pray for her unborn fetus. Take care of her.
Watch over fetus.
And she just goes into this spiel. It lasts, I'm not even kidding you, for 2 minutes. So I'm sitting there, standing there, and I literally like peek an eye open. Okay. Like, I'm like, is this really happening? Like,
a peek from the sheets here.
Tell me this is not happening. Like, I am dreaming right now. I'm going to wake up in my bed. Like, this is a dream. Oh, no. Nope. This woman, head bowed, eyes closed. Cashier, very important. Mm-hmm. He is also head bowed, eyes closed.
Props to him, because at this moment in time, and in the world we live in, I'm surprised a cashier went along with it. That he wasn't just like, get the fuck out of my lane. Because
right.
People, I mean, we could talk about brutal customer service and
disrespectful. Absolutely.
Oh, man. Yeah. So the fact that this gentleman actually
mm-hmm. He went through with it. Oh, yeah. And so she does her whole thing and we're all, you know, doing the thing, right? Mm-hmm. So then she just lays out this like, amen and hallelujah. Without even thinking, I was like, amen. Okay. And I take my hands back really quick. And yeah. I was just like, okay, we're done here. And I continue just putting my stuff like back on the conveyor belt. And so she like grabs her stuff and she's, you know, have a blessed day. You too. Yes, ma'am. You know,
let's chalk up a few things. Number one, the sweetness of this woman.
Oh, absolutely sweet.
I love it.
Absolutely okay. Sweet. Like not for nothing, but you know, so let me just back up a little bit. I had just, before going into the dollar store, had just gone to my meme's grave, and I haven't been there since the funeral. So I'm having a moment. That's why I'm having some retail therapy.
Okay. Like that's important ingredients
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
So you're leaving, you just left the cemetery, yeah. Visiting meme.
Yeah.
You haven't been back there.
Correct.
And you're like, you know what? I need a minute. I'm going to yeah. go to the dollar store, get yep. some therapy on a budget.
Exactly. I needed something, but then like I just kind
of found something.
Well, I actually went in there for the moisture wickening containers for the camper.
Yeah.
So originally I had a mission, but the dollar store took over my life. And so it was just like I needed her there. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
I didn't think I needed her there, but it was very nice because if you've listened to the podcast, you know that Meme is very big into spiritual, into her religion and that sort of thing. So for this woman to come out of nowhere, just out of nowhere.
I can say that, this story can sound really crazy to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also going to say that that doesn't just happen. She doesn't just find mm-hmm. you. There's got to be,
nope.
You know, there's a reason there. You know, there's mm-hmm. There's definitely a meaning there. You know, I'm not jinxing us into a baby tomorrow, but I'm just saying,
right.
Like, that message was for you. You needed mm-hmm. that message, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for the cashier to partake in it, for you be willing to partake in it, then there's a level of just power in that woman's presence. You
absolutely.
Know what I mean? So
absolutely.
That's pretty awesome. Hilarious.
Hilarious. That's not the end of the story.
Okay.
We're not done. So she gathers her stuff and she goes to leave. Before she gets to the door, she turns around and she says, the next time I see you here, you'll be waddling. And I said,
girl, I'm going to just come back from Chipotle. You see me waddling tomorrow. You picking my lunch tomorrow?
I said, yes, ma'am. Have a blessed day. And she goes out the door. So me and the cashier, we're just like, quiet for like
yeah.
a couple seconds. And I literally didn't even know what else to say to him other than thanks for being a part of that moment with me.
Yeah.
And he was like, that was probably the most awkward but entertaining things that I've ever been a part of.
Without a doubt.
And I was like, yeah, yeah. He's like, that will never happen again. And I was like, I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope not.
If it does, then we've had the wool pulled over our eyes. She's just walking around blessing everybody to childbirth.
Literally. So I thanked him for being a part of that. And he was like, yeah, that'll never happen again. And so I finish cashing out. And so without even him skipping a beat, he looks at me and says, well, good luck to you.
Yeah.
And I said, practice makes perfect, my friend.
Godspeed.
And I walk out. So as I'm walking out with my buggy and all, I hear some like bumping music. And I was like trying to find where that music's coming from. I have no idea. And so I get to my car and I'm putting my bags in there. Yeah, there was multiple. A Dollar Tree got me.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I hear, hey. And I'm still putting my stuff in the car. She goes, hey, you. I turn around and it's the woman.
Okay.
And she says to me, it's a girl. You better start shopping.
Yeah, you've been shopping all right. Good Lord.
And I was like, yes, ma'am. Have a good day. And she just zooms
off. Jeez, Louise.
I have faith that that woman sat in her car and prayed on it.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like, for the fact that we just had that moment inside, okay? Then for me to come out probably a few minutes later, for you to then tell me that there's a possibility of a girl.
Like, oh, she didn't say it was a possibility. She told you.
Oh, she told... Well, that's what I'm saying. But to me, it was like, she prayed on it. She got a message, and it was brought to me from whoever upstairs, God, spiritual side, what have you. That message was intended to me for whatever reason, whenever. But I'll tell you what.
You ain't having a baby naming it Dollar General. I'll tell you right now.
And when we get pregnant.
Dollar Princess and Dollar General.
If and when we get pregnant and it finds out to be a girl, y'all will know about it. I'm coming on this podcast and I'm telling you.
Finally.
That Dollar Tree was right.
I'm going to waddle around Southern Maine until I find that woman. So have you been back? Have you been, or have you, I mean, lots of... dive too deep into your shopping habits, but have you said, I just can't go back there? Or,
oh, no, I went back.
That's what I figured.
And he told, and the same cashier was there, and he told me that nobody had been blessed in the Dollar Tree. There was no, there will not be any praying today.
Good Lord.
Oh, God.
That's, I'll tell you right now, that's worth more than a buck.
That was, the experience alone was worth it.
I couldn't believe it when you told me that story when I got home. I was like, where the hell have you
this
been?
This happened, and then days went by before I actually came to see you. I could not tell you over the phone.
No.
You needed to be a part of
this. I don't think I would have believed it.
I went to work the next day, and my friend Michelle, who I work with, literally told me, you need to go back and get the footage. And I was like, you think I could?
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome.
I think I could go back.
I could see that going viral for sure. So
there was this day, you know.
There's your positive experience. And a few minutes ago, I don't know how long it's been now, we were talking about how you go into like different vendor, you know, booths and stuff, and people don't greet you. They don't talk to you. You don't get great service. I feel bad if someone comes to my booth and I don't notice them because I am on my phone, because then I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm one of those guys. Because you could be at a fair and not see somebody for an hour and a half, and then, you know, they come
sneak
in.
Sneak in, and then.
Yeah, and you're like, shit, I'm
going to give
like
a glimpse.
Like a jamoke.
Yeah.
But I always try to overcome it and, you know, start conversation. But you go into a lot of these places, or let's say you're ordering food at a fair. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the people that are like traveling, that are like, you know, on that like carnival circuit, they're just dicks to you, right?
And they're grubby sometimes.
Yeah. So you shouldn't order there is what I'm saying. But the point is, customer service sucks, right?
Most of the time.
And we've talked for days on this podcast about experiences of bad customer service. So I don't want to profile your shopping habits or your level of spending.
Balling on a budget?
Yeah, yeah. So maybe you're setting yourself up here because you did have one rocket experience at the Dollar Tree, but you had an unfortunate one at the Goodwill. Not so much Goodwill being involved over there.
This is true.
Can you share with the people your moment of rage at the Goodwill?
Oh, sure. I'd love to. So here we are balling on a budget, okay? My entire wardrobe, I will put it out to the universe.
Is Loud Proud American, your wardrobe?
Yeah. Duh. No.
Wow. We are definitely fighting.
I mean, there's a good percentage of it. But what I was going to say is that I'm balling on a budget. So with that being said, my entire wardrobe, or
anything you don't steal from your husband, you acquired from the Goodwill or a yard sale.
What I was going to say is thrifting.
Oh, that makes sense.
Which also means that I stole that from my husband. That's considered thrifting because it didn't belong to me.
Okay.
Okay. So, thrifting is my go-to. Mm-hmm. Yard sales, marketplace, like you said, Goodwill specifically. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I go to the Goodwill, and I find some super cute things. Like, I found a jumpsuit, and I found a dress. And to my surprise, guess what? The freaking dressing room is closed. Okay, fine. The dressing room is closed during COVID. COVID's over.
Yeah, she gone.
get with the program. Mm-hmm. Okay. Get over it. We're done. So I go home, try these things on, keep the receipt, go back the next day. Okay.
So no dressing room, make a purchase, just assuming this is going to fit because you can't try it on.
Right.
You come home, you got some items, don't fit. Yeah. No dressing room. We tried your home dressing room. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back and return these bitches.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to swap them out or something.
Right. I'm going to do an exchange. So one jumpsuit and it doesn't fit. It's too big, which, okay, this diet's working. Like, it's too big. Like, I'm pretty excited about it. So I go find some shorts that I'm just going to swap it out for. And yet again, to my surprise, I go back to the dressing room and there's a sign on the door. Sorry for the inconvenience, our changing rooms are closed, okay? When I walked into the Goodwill, okay, first thing, when you walk into the Goodwill, there's your cash wraps, right? There's two grown-ass women standing at the cash wrap playing fucking Polly Pocket.
Unbelievable.
Okay? Polly Pocket.
Polly fucking Pocket.
I haven't seen a Polly Pocket in 20 years, okay?
No.
These broads are sitting there playing Polly Pocket.
I mean, Polly Pocket pool, but I ain't seen no Polly Pocket.
Regardless, to which his own. So I go to the lady and I was like, listen, I completely understand. Like, I completely understand that the changing rooms are closed. However, I just spoke to you a minute ago. I'm trying to do an exchange. I need to know if these shorts are going to fit because that's why I'm here. I'm literally here because these didn't fit because I couldn't try them on because your changing room is closed.
Bingo.
She says, no, we can't do it. There's a sign on the door. We can't do it. And I said, can you walk me back there? There's two of you. You have two cashiers. The place is dead. Like, there's probably three of us here in the entire store. Can you walk me back? Open the changing room. I'll try these on and then I'll come back. We'll do the even exchange and I'll be on my way. Nope. Can't. It's closed. And I said, okay, fine. So I have five pairs of shorts in my hand. The likelihood that I'm going to exchange two of them and buy three of them.
Right.
Any business owner would have been like, okay, yeah, absolutely. Let me do that real quick for you. Let me do that for you.
Anybody with a common clue or an employee cashing a paycheck should go ahead and do that.
Nope.
Unless you're in a competitive game of Polly Pocket. Maybe I just couldn't see myself separating myself.
So to my surprise, nope, they would not open the changing room at all whatsoever. Mind you, I have my receipt and I have the item that I'm trying to exchange, which literally says yesterday's date on it.
Hmm.
Okay. So I said, that's fine. Then I'm going to do a return. So the lady playing Polly Pocket has to stop playing Polly Pocket, walk around the cash register, walk around to the other cash register, get on the phone, call the manager over, wait for the manager to walk over, and come to the register.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you could have just walked me down.
Same amount of time. This is already handled. And they're keeping their money and making some.
Correct. Nope, didn't happen. So manager comes up. And she sees that there's a stack of clothes on the counter. She says, anything wrong with it? And I said, yeah, there's something wrong with it. It doesn't fit me. I said, and I would have known that if your dressing room was open. She said, excuse me? I said, if your dressing room was open and Polly Pocket over here wasn't, you have two cashiers and they're playing Polly Pocket. If one of them could have, you know, managed the dressing room, maybe we wouldn't have been in this situation. And she's like, okay, so there's nothing wrong with it. And I was like, that's correct. I just couldn't try it on. And she said, are these what you're exchanging? And I said, I would love to. I would love to exchange these for this item. However, guess what? Your changing room is still closed.
Mm.
She says to me, yeah, we have people leaving and for the day. And I said, right. But as I mentioned before, you have two cashiers up here playing Polly Pocket.
How do you play Polly Pocket? I don't even know.
I have no idea. All I know is that they had these tiny little Polly Pocket figurines and they were like dancing them there on the counter.
That's
grown ass
supposed adults.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I said to the manager, I go, no, I'm not returning these. You won't let me try them on. Do you want to go and open up the changing room? I said, because I have five pairs of shorts here and I don't want to come back to do another exchange.
Right.
I literally want to wear the items that I'm walking out the door with. I want to know that they fit.
I enjoy the Goodwill, but I don't want to spend three lunch breaks in a row. Yeah.
Seriously, I don't have time for that shit. My entire wardrobe, as I've mentioned, is literally 90% Goodwill. I go thrifting all the freaking time. I am here religiously. I have a Goodwill membership card, for God's sakes. I was just here yesterday. Check my receipt. Yeah. Like, and she was like, nope, sorry, I can't do it. And I was like, without even thinking, I was like, ma'am, COVID's over.
Yeah.
You have plenty of members here. I said, you have five back there sorting goods that were just dropped off, two cashiers up here, and there's three customers.
Seriously. As a fucking manager, the fact you couldn't walk to the door, open it, wait there for 2 minutes, and be like, okay, which ones do you want to exchange? Like,
I literally said to the manager, I said, let me just tell you that I have full intentions of exchanging two of these and buying the other three if they fit. I need shorts. Hmm. And she was like, sorry. So I said to her, I go, whatever, just do the exchange then. It's fine. Or I said, do the return. And I pull out my card. I said, do you want the card back? She goes, no. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean no? She goes, oh, I'm going to put it on a gift card. I said, the fuck? Hmm. You're doing what? You're putting it on a gift card? So I repeated myself and I said, I'm sorry. You're going to put it on a gift card?
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, we have to. And I said, or you could just open up the dressing room.
It's going to take you way longer to process that gift card than it is to open the fucking dressing room. Literally. And also, you were just there within 24 hours of the fucking receipt and it's going to go on a gift card?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know.
So right now, I have the gift card in my wallet and I'm very mad at Goodwill right now. Like, it just doesn't, it's mind blowing. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I have a bag of stuff. I religiously donate stuff to the Goodwill. Like, buy from the Goodwill, donate to the Goodwill. I'm good. I'm good right now. You know what? That will sit in there for a week.
Mm. A week, yeah. Yeah. Strong. You're strong like an oak. But the point is,
aggravating.
That, here's the thing. Number one, the level of customer service is so disappointing that a grown-ass adult would be playing
Polly Pocket.
Polly fucking Pocket at a cash register. Not just one adult, two supposed adults. That's bad enough. Then when the manager comes up, you would think that what person would be competent enough to be like, yeah, of course we can do an exchange. Of course we can open the dressing room. Like, and then when I got paid to the front as a manager and those things weren't already handled and I saw my employees fucking diddling pocket pool over there,
oh,
I would have lost my shit. Like, never mind defending them, I would have lost my fucking shit.
No, they put their Polly Pockets away when the manager came.
Yeah.
They were certain to put those in their pocket.
Well.
So when I mentioned Polly Pocket, the look on both of their faces looked like they saw a damn ghost. So I will remind you that I did have five pairs of shorts in my hand. And I looked at the manager and I looked at old Polly Pockets and I said, y'all can put those away.
Yeah, you don't want to open the door. It's going to take you a hell of a lot longer to put five fucking pairs of shorts away.
Find where they
restock
go.
My exchange, process my gift card, put my Pollies back in my pocket and quit touching my pool cue.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
yep.
That's customer service for you, people. That's
so disgusting.
Fucking America. Like, if you're not cashing yourself out, if you're not bagging yourself, you know, doing all this shit and then having to produce a receipt to somebody that's half fucking dead at the door on the way out. If you're not doing all those things, then you're going to run into fucking Polly Pocket. The only way you're going to get good service is by picking your own groceries, bagging them, checking them out, and then having the warden inspect your goddamn receipt. So hopefully you treat yourself well as a customer.
It's true.
But I don't know, man. It's out of control. And then what I don't understand is the person that you might encounter, whether it's at your work or us being on the road as a vendor, that comes in and gives you an attitude about, like, service. You know what I mean?
I'm the problem.
It's like, you know what? If you're going to come into my tent and then give me a hard time about something, there is no way in this ever-loving world that you go anywhere else and get better fucking service. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting bottom of the barrel, piss poor service everywhere as you go. The fact that I have a pulse and I don't tell you to suck it, you should probably be excited by the experience. Instead, you want to come in and be a fucking big old Karen. It's unbelievable.
The problem that I run into, and this is like a trauma response, I will put it out on the line, is that I match energies. Like, if you come at me sideways, I'm going to put an effort to smooth you over as nicely as I can at first. And then if you keep going I'm done. I'm going to tell you. It's out the fucking window.
I'm going to tell you this. There'd be some times where you misread energy and you might come out like, yeah. And I'm like, hey, we could take that down a little. Yeah. I'm not talking about like in an exchange situation. I'm talking about like maybe like a meeting somebody situation. Like, unlike them. Well, and why?
They looked at me funny.
Exactly. You might come a little hot on the trigger from time to time. But I do know if you were trying to process a return at your favorite store, you probably would have been pretty polite about it. Because you're there every 6 minutes.
I was. I started off polite.
Yeah, it didn't end that way.
No.
Polly Pocket.
I called those two broads Polly Pocket like 6 times.
You should call them that every time you see them.
Now. I am.
Polly and Pocket.
Yeah, where's Pocket?
Yeah.
Where's Polly? Where's Pocket? I'm done. It will happen.
It's unreal. Here's the secret, America. Here's the secret. If you want good customer service.
Be a good customer.
Hang on, man. If you want good customer service, you want good quality products, you want to enjoy your time, you want to give your money to a good business that appreciates your money and your business, you can find us at many events all year long. We're going to give you service, we're going to give you a smile, we're going to give you products to last a while. That's what we do.
Don't come in with an attitude.
Don't you be coming in here all sideways.
Put you over my damn knee.
Boy, I'll put you in my own pocket, you know? Whoop that ass.
Anyways. I do, before we, get off of here, have to go out with a bang and tell them about my good experience on the marketplace.
Okay. All right. I'm going to let you finish it up. We're crossing an hour here. So,
sorry, Kevin.
Kevin's feeling it on the cardio deck out there today. So I'm going to let you finish off with
the shenanigans.
Okay. All right. You take it. You take the wheel, Cletus.
So as we were talking about thrift shopping, I like to peruse the marketplace, find some free stuff, find some good deals, and I, for one, found a sweet, really nice deal on a, what is it, 7 feet cabinet?
Oh, the cabinet you have? That sucker's at least 7 feet tall. It's taller than I am, and it's got to be
tall by
3 feet deep.
Yeah. Free.
Free.com.
Shelves.
Nice piece.
Yeah.
Nice piece.
Yep. Drove all the way to town with a pickup truck. This is, if you're on my social media, you may have seen my post that says I'm not allowed alone with my husband's truck, because this is why.
Anytime you take the truck for something, like if your car is in the shop, I get a message like, hey, we got to drive, 40 minutes away and pick up 2 million pallets. We got to go.
You appreciate it.
Three towns away and get these 2 round bales of hay. We got to go over here and pick up a cabinet. I got to go. I mean,
this is why I'm not trusted with a pickup truck of my own.
Or like you just come home with stuff in it. Like, I mean, that wasn't even planned. Or you'd be driving down the road and see a lamp, pull over and throw it in.
That I did do. And it's in my office.
Yeah, I know.
It's great. Works perfect.
So you got a free cabinet. Something else you got.
Huge free cabinet. It was perfect. However, this thing is probably what, like 40 pounds, 50 pounds.
I ain't tried to move
Actually,
it, but based
I
off
think
the
it's,
size,
I think
it's way heavier than that.
Yeah, it's pretty sturdy. And so little old me, 5'2", shimmied that 7-foot shelf out of the back of the truck into the garage in a rainstorm.
Made it happen. What else did you get for free this week?
I got you a Sid Stand Station that retails for $1,200.
Yeah.
For free.
Just got to buy a new clamp or something, right?
Yeah, $20 part.
$1,200 machine.
Holds dual monitors.
Free.com.
Free.com.
What did you come home with today for free? What was that? There's
canisters.
Like canning canisters of sorts.
Canisters.
Those are pretty fancy for canning canisters over there.
They're canisters for like your flour, coffee, sugar, and there's a salt and pepper shaker.
Nice.
Thrifting.
Price perfect.
Michelle always asks me, how do you always find these things? And I go, I can't give you my secret.
So in the past week, you got a free lamp for the office. You got a free cabinet for the garage. You got a free sit-stand station for my office. And some free canisters for the kitchen. Is that about it? Did you get anything else for free?
Probably, but I can't remember.
Yeah, you probably can't bring it up. You're waiting to give it to me for Christmas or some shit.
Oh, I got some free protein, actually.
I'm about to give you some.
Get the fuck out of here.
Hey, you said practice makes perfect.
Oh my God. I'm
about to go practice.
For a girl.
No.
Hey, you said it, not me.
Good Lord. Well, if that sums up your freeness, I think maybe we can wrap this show up and say customer service might be dead. Unless you're buying from Loud Proud American. Which right. You can do all next week at the fair.
We'll be at Topsom Fair.
You're damn right we will.
Then we're headed to Windsor Fair.
Windsor. Litchfield.
And then Freiburg.
Jeez.
Buzzy.
Tell you what, the Loud Proud American tour rolls on.
And if you can't find us at any of those because you're out of the state, you can find us at loudproudamerican.shop.
Good work. And we might even come to your state. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know what's coming.
You don't know my schedule.
It could be happening. I just got to get some more dependable wheels. But that's all I got. Thank you for supporting
our American dream. Now go wash your fucking hands. You filthy savage.
Yeehaw. That's it and that's all, Biggie Smalls. If you found value in today's show, please return the favor and leave a positive review. Share it with someone that is important to you. Hit subscribe and help us grow our tribe. Are you interested in sponsoring the show? Maybe you're looking to be a guest on the show. Find all that you need to know about the show at sharethestrugglepodcast.com. Subscribe to Grow Our Tribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and all other major platforms. And don't forget to like and share our official Facebook page at Share the Struggle Podcast. If you're a loud, proud American and you find yourself just wanting more, you can find me on YouTube, on Facebook, or the face page, as my mama calls it. Just search Loud Proud American. If you're a fan of the graham cracker, the Instagram, or the tickety-tock, where the kids be a tickety-talking, the TikTok, you can search loud_proud_American. If you want to join the 2% of Americans that support American manufacturing, head on over to www.loudproudamerican.shop and get your hands on some of that made in USA apparel and join the mission. Mission 2%. Together, we can bring back American manufacturing. Big ol' thank you to the boys from the Gut Truckers for the background beats and the theme song to Share the Struggle Podcast. You can find the Gut Truckers on Facebook. Just search Gut Truckers and show your support to those mother truckers. I truly thank you for supporting my American dream. Now go wash your fucking hands, you filthy savage.